You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Aquaman and Dora the Explorer kill a bunch of bad, bad people in standard revenge flick fashion. What more do you need to know?
It is epic.
Okay, fine. Okay, a few more details here. Sweet Girl is the feature directorial debut of Brian Andrew Mendoza, executive producer of Frontier, which is how he managed to land Jason Momoa in the lead role of Ray in this action thriller that he is also the executive producer on. Ray Cooper is an ex-military father and husband who loses the love of his life to cancer and the even bigger enemy, the greed of an indifferent pharmaceutical company unwilling to release a new specialized treatment for the death sentence that is cancer. Now, his daughter Rachel, played by Isabella Merced from Dora the Explorer, is without a mother, and Momoa is without justice, vowing to kill anyone and everyone responsible for the death of his wife. Hot on their tail is Lex Scott Davis's FBI detective Sarah Meeker chasing after Rachel and Ray as they tear across the Pittsburgh area, leaving a body count. What follows is a bloody, fast-paced, sometimes a bit convoluted action film with enough heart and tears to keep you rooting for the heroes and not think too hard about all the people with guns dying along the way.
Yeah.
It's a father-daughter road trip with guns and explosions and a fugitive-style leap from great heights into water. I am TC DeWitz of the Screener Squad, and joining me off the grid is Mark.
Hello.
Lewayne.
Hey, how's it going?
And Adrian El Critico.
Hello. I'm not sure if this is going to go to video, but I promise we're not all three of us the same person. We're actually...
Right.
We didn't come from the same Play-Doh factory.
Right? We're like Pokemon evolutions.
People confuse us a lot.
Gentlemen, what did you think of Sweet Girl, which is clearly the wrong title for this movie that should have been called Sweet Child because they kept singing that stupid Guns N' Roses song?
Yeah. Ugh.
I think you put it well in saying that it's kind of generic revenge action fare. I'll say this, and I do mean this as a compliment. Throughout the film, I thought, you know what? I'm going to text my uncle so that he can put this movie on for my grandpa, who is at his house at the moment. Because I know he's going to really, really dig this. He probably won't remember it, but he'll have fun for 2 hours, surprisingly enough, of runtime that the movie has.
Yeah, there's a point in this movie where there's a half hour left, and I thought, what? Why is there a half? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, as for myself, I wasn't mad while watching it. I wasn't upset that I even saw it. But I'll say this. I think Jason Momoa is like a really fucking cool dude in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he seems really nice. He's super down to earth. He loves the fans and all that stuff. He just seems like a cool bro. And I keep hearing people call him charismatic, and I've yet to see that in an actual movie.
Agreed.
Not a fan of him in Aquaman, and yeah, really not a fan of him in this.
I'll say this about this performance. For the most part, as this kicks off and the ball gets rolling on it, I thought this is no different than any Rock movie or Arnold Schwarzenegger Collateral Damage style film, Jason Statham type movie. But then Momoa did something that none of those other guys would do. He has a full cry. He cries. He falls apart at the loss of his wife. And I don't think Vin Diesel, The Rock, I don't think those other action heroes, those beefcakes we have now, though they are charismatic and funny and charming, I don't think they have it in them to cry like that. I think that's what Jason Momoa's edge is, in that he's willing to be that much more human than those guys are.
Yeah, he's vulnerable. So
I'll give him credit for that.
I was kind of disappointed in certain very odd ways thematically, because when it starts up, I'm like, oh, cool, it's an action movie about Aquaman versus the corporate autocracy. I'm in. It's Khal Drogo going after Big Pharma. I'm so in. It's not really about that guy. Sorry. It's just an action movie, but with Martin Shkreli getting punched a lot till he dies.
Yes.
Which is yeah. great. I'm still in, though. So, hey.
But that was one of the things that watching this, because in most of the revenge movies that you talk about, like that have all of the other action movie giants, the bad guys are very clear, right? It's the army of dudes with guns led by the guy who killed the fill in the blank. The problem with this is nothing is that clearly defined. Yes, the corporate guy's an asshole, and I think we're all perfectly fine with him dying. That's not really the issue. But it does this thing that it took me a while to actually get behind Momoa, because I'm like, you're doing all of this the wrong way. And it doesn't feel as clean as most of those other revenge movies, because it's a dude who, as we learn later, really doesn't make decisions. He's just the guy that sits up front and talks on TV. But things get out of hand like they do in the real world when somebody does something like this and people end up dead, and then it sort of escalates. So it's not really super conventional in that sense. Then it made it harder for me to get behind him quite a ways through here. Because when he first shows up in the apartment after what is essentially the kickoff event, I'm like, you just made your kid an accessory. You realize that, right?
Yep.
Like, she had nothing to do with this until you walked in and said, I just did something really stupid. Or rather, she went, you just did something really stupid, didn't you?
Yeah, it's hard to root for him at some points in this, which is why I said in my intro, if you don't think about all the murder and right. just kind of root yeah. for this very yeah. pro-gun agenda, yeah, you're going to get out of this what you want to get out of this.
It's kind of funny because it starts off like, my wife died, your mother died, and that's really traumatic for the both of us. So I'm going to fix it by making it so now not only is she dead, but we have to run for our lives and we will always be hunted down.
There's a lot of logistical issues.
This is a movie where like revenge is actually kind of maybe not the best solution. However, the film finds a way to kind of remedy that.
Yes.
Because
right.
you're thinking this is kind of one movie and then it turns into a different kind of movie. And I don't want to say exactly how. There's people, I mean, you guys pieced it together.
Yeah.
I didn't piece it together, but I also wasn't super into it, so maybe, I don't know. I did enjoy that part. When it turns out to be the movie that it turns out to be, I thought, that's kind of cool. It gives it a right. little boost.
There's a lot of absurdisms in it.
Yep.
He disguises himself at a catering event, and he finds a suit that's exactly his size. And you're like, wait a minute. And then there's a kind of a half-assed plan to go to Toronto, which he totally abandoned without explanation. And then as you watch the movie and certain things are revealed, you're like,
there's no way.
Oh, this totally makes sense now. How he's able to find the suit, why the plot changes without an explanation. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cool writer hook. Like, yeah. okay. Yeah. Erase it. Let's go. Right. Let's keep moving.
Well, let's talk about Isabella Merced here, who plays Rachel, his daughter, the accessory to all of this. I think she's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think
I know where you're going.
She shows signs of some potential for some really cool action heroine stuff to be done as her career progresses. But as far as the character is concerned, I felt like she probably should have been more like 14 instead of 18. Because the way she's daddy, daddy, and at the mercy of him. Just from the narrative we have in front of us, it struck me that she was written like a younger girl, and I didn't like that.
And they make a point near the end of the movie to make sure that you know she's an adult. They actually identify her as being 18 years old. But up to that point, I'm like, I have no idea how old she is.
Yeah, the actress is 20, but the character feels like she's 14, 15.
She's a small.
I think it works better if she is younger. But then you have to deal with some other uncomfortable stuff as you get further toward the end, because now you're dealing with somebody who is a child who's been involved in this particular adventure in the way that she is. And I can see where somebody who's in the production seat is like, maybe we don't do that. I don't know. It just felt awkward. Mm-hmm. It was one of those points where it feels like you can see a behind the camera decision being made that I think doesn't quite work.
She just doesn't sell it. I mean, I was thinking about this while I was preparing the recording stuff, and I was just like, I like her. I like the character. She's a victim of circumstance, you know? She's traumatized and re-traumatized, and that later becomes part of the movie in a really essential way. So it's not exploitative. Well, it is, but in a way that's meaningful. But she herself is not exactly a tour de force. But then again, neither is Momoa.
Right.
But he is able to sell it, as it turns out. This movie, it's really about two people, and she's just not ready to carry her end of this. Doesn't quite have the charisma, or maybe the ability. I'm not sure which it is.
I think of something like Man on Fire. You have Denzel and Dakota Fanning, two very capable performers teamed up together, having a pseudo father, surrogate father, daughter circumstances.
Or The Professional.
Yes, The Professional. Mm-hmm. Even something like The Equalizer, the first Denzel one, not to go to two in a row, but
sure.
You have Chloe Moretz as the surrogate daughter type in there, and she's also a very capable actress. So I don't know if this material in the hands of someone with a bit more chops to them would have elevated this any further, but I don't think it would have hurt. Because like I said, Isabella Marquette is showing signs of a future as an action heroine. She's just not quite clean of her Nickelodeonisms quite yet.
Yeah.
I was kind of agreeing with you, TC, in the sense that, like, I do also kind of feel like the character herself should have been younger and played by a younger actress. And I was thinking, like, you know, if they needed, like, a Latina actress, they should have gotten the girl from Sicario 2. And then I looked it up on IMDb, and as it turns out, that's also her. That's the same actress, except when she was younger, and I thought she looked familiar.
That's how good she is.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's odd because I do think, if I'm hearing you guys correctly, this isn't a terrible movie. I don't hear any of you hating this.
It's entertaining.
And from the reviews I've skimmed, I haven't seen anybody dogging on this movie. But it's a Netflix movie, and I've said this in a previous review.
Yeah, yeah.
Netflix movies always are missing one little thing that elevate it to the point of cinema quality, of a movie you would go see in theaters. 9 times out of 10, there's always some little thing in a Netflix movie that's missing. And I don't know what it is, because it's always something different.
Yeah, it doesn't quite make that hill.
There's something kind of TV quality of it, like even the way it's filmed. It's the same type of filmmaking that you would see in, like, an episode of Law & Order, SVU, or something like that. Like, it never really feels cinematic, and I feel like that's the case for a lot of Netflix films. Also, at the time of it being released, August 20th, 2021, this is now the, I don't know, 800 million revenge film that's out there. They're starting to get tiring. I like cathartic action. But it's starting to get tiring. And the way I see it is that right now you can break it down into two categories. You either get Equalizer 1 that's really well done and gory and cathartic and it has like a great actor behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could do Equalizer 2 and make a modern day exploitation film and have it be a splatterfest and, you know, call it something like Kill Squad, and it feels like it should be on a VHS or something like that.
Which has its place. Yeah.
This is in that middle ground where it's like, we have some action, and it's kind of violent, but it's not that violent. And we have a cool lead, but he's not that good. And that's kind of what's getting tiring to me. It's like these literal middle-of-the-ground revenge films that I feel like my grandpa's really going to enjoy, and that's about it.
Right.
Yeah, you're definitely describing the Blu-ray discount bin type of movie.
Absolutely.
Dad's love.
Which is not necessarily bad. I mean, you know what it's like? It's like the later Death Wish movies where you're like, it's kind of a waste of time, but it's comfort food of a sort, yeah. But it's not really good comfort food. But you're like, yeah. I got nothing else to do. Sure. I mean, it's entertaining. I mean, it's not going to transform you. Well, part of it will. No. It's by the numbers. It's so sure. Predictable by the, up to a point, and then after that, it's by the numbers again.
Well, Mark, why don't you take that and roll it into some final thoughts here?
There's a lot of things I liked about it. I was talking about how the action sequences, while decent, aren't spectacularly choreographed. There's no thrilling moments. It's heavy in the cuts, which drives me. Everybody who likes action movies or martial arts in any way, shape, or he's supposed to be this great martial art teacher and you know, mm-hmm. practitioner, and he's training the daughter and the inevitable training montages, but you don't really see that. On the other hand, they're choreographed very well, like the Daredevil series, in small spaces, because there's fights in hotel rooms, motel rooms, and on stairwells. And I like that. They carried that off. The writing is standard until a point, and it rises above for a brief shining moment, and then it's back down. Raised at a point for me. Strictly mediocre, but fun. And by all means, if you enjoy action movies, and 98% of them are kind of mediocre, let's be honest. They follow the structure of spectacular ones like Die Hard and The Rock and things from the 90s that we all enjoyed and have good memories of. But I'd have to give it a 6 out of 10 better names I could think of for about Stuff Money.
Adrian, go ahead.
I was kind of excited for this because the way it starts out is almost exactly like Max Payne 1, the video game.
Oh, man.
And then you get into the movie a little bit and you find out it's about one man versus Big Pharma and some kind of conspiracy. And I thought, oh, shit, it would be actually cool if they just straight up copy Max Payne. And when we get like a better Max Payne movie than that Mark Wahlberg movie from who knows when it came out. This is not that. It's also not bad. But it's also not great. If you need an action film, like you just have to watch one, I guess I don't blame you for checking this out. But if you've seen a lot of action recently, if you like revenge thrillers, if you like the two movies I mentioned, like I really like Equalizer 1. I have such a guilty pleasure for Equalizer 2 because that is like just an exploitation. It's a modern day grindhouse film.
Gonna have to watch
and that. I love it for that. Personally speaking, I need more stuff like that. I don't know if maybe I just have like a bloodlust when it comes to like action movies, but I get bored with like the Expendables type action and like Taken. Oof. Now that we have John Wick and The Raid and every action movie coming from Indonesia and Korea, where they really, really push the bar on what can be done with stunts and gore and all this stuff, it's hard to sit down and just enjoy something that I've seen 100 times before. And unfortunately, this is that. So not a bad movie, just not really what I'm looking for. I'm gonna give this 2 punches to the punchable face of Martin Scorsese out of 5 because that was totally supposed to be him. No question. Without even trying to hide it, that was him.
Sweet to think about.
Luann.
I mean, it's a Netflix movie. It's on Netflix. Your investment is just your time. And you're going to know by now whether or not you want to watch Jason Momoa fight some people or not. It'll be your thing or not. I think it runs a little long, but it does this thing near the end that sort of causes some changes in how things go. So, all right. The writing is mostly conventional, except for something that I agree with Mark, bumps it up probably a point in the review because it does do something creative, even if it feels like they just listened to me and TC tell them how they should do this.
Is there a microphone in here?
Yeah, exactly.
It's right
like,
in front of me.
Are you listening to me? The action is okay. It has this weird thing where it, unfortunately, some of it feels realistic in that it's kind of sloppy and doesn't look all nicely choreographed. And if you've ever fought with somebody for real, it usually doesn't look near as cool as it does in the movies. I'm not sure how much of that was intentional, how much of it was just, this is what we can do. It's not bad. It's not great. Momoa's fine. Merced is fine. So instead of making it 2.5 out of 5, right in the middle, I'm going to go ahead and give it a full 3. Purple backpacks.
This is an action movie. So first and foremost, with an action movie, I judge them on the action. As Mark said, there are some okay fights and shootouts in close quarters, which gives it a unique flair. But other than that, it does have a bit too much cutting around. It doesn't pull back and give you what we get from John Wick or the Raid movies.
Right. Yeah.
And there are a couple of well-done stunts, like flying through windows or leaping over a banister to break someone's neck. So that's kind of cool. The pace is steady enough that it never slows down enough to get dull. So as far as satisfying my itch for a straight-up action movie that doesn't turn into John Wick levels of cartoonishness or deals with superpowers or aliens, this is okay. It reminds me of the late 90s, early noughts action movies like Enemy of the State. I mentioned Man on Fire. But there is an oversaturation of revenge flicks right now, and that's a very good point brought up by Adrian. There's too many at this point. Every actor thinks they need their Taken since Liam Neeson basically redefined the genre. I don't know. But this has a copy of a copy feel of something like the first Bourne Identity in its tone and its pace. If that's for you, you're going to like this. Momoa is good. Merced is good. Momoa in particular, I appreciate that he's a very human guy, and I appreciate his willingness to cry and lose a fight. He's an everyman. even if he's 6'4" and definitely not blending into any crowds. The plot overall is a bit predictable, especially if you've seen enough of these. But overall, it's a nice, easy watch. Even at 2 hours, it doesn't feel its length. And I think that's always good for movies that run a bit longer. I know Adrian's of the mind that no movie should be over 90 minutes, right?
I don't disagree.
I mean, it just kind of depends. This one was one of those where I paused it and I did see like, oh, there's 37 minutes left and I'm feeling very sleepy. So I'd really rather just end
now. You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. I was talking to my girlfriend about it and I remember saying, you know what really drives me crazy about it? This did not have to be nearly 2 hours long. They could have cut out 20 minutes so easily.
Yeah, sorry, TC.
No, that's all right. Just for my taste, it didn't ever feel its length, which I appreciated. But at the end of the day, I'm giving Sweet Girl a 6 out of 10 action movie cliches. But the one thing in this movie that really put me off is if I got a phone call out of the blue from someone saying it's not safe to talk on the phone and meet me at the train station in 20 minutes, I would have to be really convinced to go do that. I get robocalls all the time and I'm like, stop calling me. Take me off your list. Click. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, I completely agree.
There's one point where he pretty much announces his plan on a TV show on a call-in. You could get arrested for that, buddy. And they could track you down. And I'm like, why is he not arrested? You know?
No, come on. We're working in movie logic. Mark, if you say something like that again, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you.
See? And I got to call the cops.
Guys, my... Oh, my God. Oh, no.
It's in the book.
See, TC gets swatted.